Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that Inspires Thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. The SPIRIT program was begun several years ago, first as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, empty nesters, baby boomers, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, all of whom are looking for opportunities for spiritual, physical, educational, intellectual growth. Since everyone, all of us, are still sheltering in because of the pandemic, SPIRIT is the perfect way for everyone to engage in a virtual setting. Today is the first part of a multi-session program on Aliyah, and we're so fortunate that the experts in this area, Nefesh B'Nefesh, will be presenting to us today and again in a few weeks. We're happy to welcome to our SPIRIT Forum, Mark Rosenberg, Vice President for Diaspora Partnerships, and behind the scenes, Josh Sussman, Senior Events Manager, Community Integration Division. The OU enjoys a very long and wonderful relationship with Nefesh B'Nefesh, and this wonderful organization has been a very important part of our biennial community fair, which we had just held this past November before COVID. I want to thank Ari Schuffman, Director of North American Operations, for making the introductions so that we could get this program done today. I wanted to also comment before I turn the forum over that our chat is enabled for you to ask questions. So if you go to the bottom of your screen, you can add something to the chat. Please make sure that what you're adding is a specific question. We don't want any comments that will distract or detract from the presentation. It's my pleasure and my honor to turn the forum over to Mark Rosenberg and Josh Sussman. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Robertson. It's so amazing to be here to share this time together. I'll say that I'm an aspiring retiree empty nester. It's good to at least connect and share the spirit. I think it's such a great name for a program. I just want to say that we have about 55 minutes together. I will be doing a short presentation to give an overview of part one of the series. I will be taking questions. I will be sharing this presentation. So if you want copies of this, you'll have it, and obviously be available for follow-ups as well. I also want to remark that Spirit did such a great job advertising this event. My mother, who has many roots down in Boynton Beach, Florida, got many different copies of people remarking about this great event and seeing our name out there. So I want to give a small shout out to the Boynton Beach contingency that might be on the session today. I do see a few familiar names in this Brady Bunch list of Zoom participants. I just want to just remind everyone that this is actually a two-part series. That today's is going to talk about the first steps to Aliyah, mainly on a technical level, but we're going to go into some important topics that are going to frame some of the decisions or information you need to decide when is Aliyah for you. But there's going to be an incredible follow-up session on September 1st about building your life, going to much deeper details about healthcare communities, building your life in Israel with one of my colleagues, a tremendous expert with also a dozen years of experience helping people relocate and plan integrate to Israel. So there might be some times where I'm going to tease this to say, oh, that's a great question, but you're going to get a more detailed response on September 1st. So if you enjoyed today, we're going to give you the same awesome price for September 1st webinar as well. And I'm sure you'll get follow-up details about that. A little bit about myself, just so that you understand who is speaking to you. I grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and went to university where I got my BA and master's degree in education in Washington, D.C. 19 years ago, actually today is my Aliyah-versary, on the 21st of Av, is 19 years of living in Israel. I made Aliyah without Nefesh B'Nefesh. Nefesh B'Nefesh just started at the time, and I'll share a few stories in here and there today about how that has shaped my appreciation for the great work that Nefesh B'Nefesh does. For about almost 20 years now, I've been an educator at various institutions in both in North America, in Israel, and now through several digital formats. Just about 11 years, assisting thousands of new Olim with my colleague here, Josh Sussman. We actually started around the same month. 11 years working together with North American communities, and just hard to think about how that November event of relocation was in New York, and we didn't really see the changes that were happening in the world. But here we are today. It's so great together to be together with almost 100 people discussing the options of moving to Israel. Great. So I guess the big question that frames today's conversation is how to get started, the first steps to Aliyah. And I mean on a technical level, there are two major frameworks of things you need to be aware of. They are the technical planning that's involved in Aliyah and the process. Or I phrase it differently, the processing will tell you, could you make Aliyah? Do you have the documents together? And the planning is going to help you answer the question, should you do it? Okay, do you have the budget? Are you aware of the tax implications that come? Which is more important? Well, they're both pretty important. And you need to just have that in mind that if, as it says on the bottom of the slide here, if there's a chance that you want to come to Israel in the next 8 to 10 months, we really encourage you to start the technical application of the process, because it does low pressure without rushing too much. It does take 8 to 10 months. Some people can do it in less time. Without COVID, it definitely has been exasperating certain government offices, but there's no commitment to filling out the application. But this First Steps program will help you figure out the questions that you need to ask and you need to figure out to make sure that this is going to be a possibility for you. An important question that comes to the beginning is who your parents were. If you have an Israeli parent or you have previously made Aliyah, you need to be aware that that might affect your processing. If you indeed have previously made Aliyah, you might be qualified as a Toshav Chozer, a returning resident. And there's a specific organization called the Beit Yisraeli that will be able to assist you on how to move back to Israel and what you need to be aware of. They are a specific government office. If your parent is Israeli, if you were born in Israel and left before the age of 14, you might be available for all the rights as a new immigrant, but you need to know you might need an Israeli passport, and that does also takes time. So these are some of the questions that do come up in the planning. And you just should be aware of it. I also want to add, if you were born in the former Soviet Union, okay, you definitely want to start the process, as it takes a little bit longer. Special documentation you're going to need to submit. Go into other specific documentation that everyone's going to need. I also want to note in the chat, my silent but awesome colleague, Josh Sussman, will be sharing really helpful resources. But we'll also be pushing this out to you later. And there is a link already that popped up for the Beit Israeli for anyone who is already Israeli, has an Israeli passport and has lived in Israel, has the Tudat Zehut, will be able to do that. Thank you, Josh Sussman. The keys to planning your Aliyah, and I like to always begin with what's really, really important, is the first thing I will tell you is that you need to understand the cost of living in Israel and budgeting. We will not be talking about the awesome weather in Israel or the awesome people in Israel or the family and who you know in Israel. Those are really givens for many of you who have visited Israel, maybe get some head nods from people that they know those wonderful things, that a seminar like this is really comes down to very nuts and bolts questions. And the first thing that's going to give you a green light to do that is understanding how much life is going to cost in Israel. I don't want to hear these things. I hear it's expensive in Israel. It's not so inexpensive to live in Manhattan or Teaneck or Los Angeles or Florida. Expensive is a subjective term. You need to look at this. And I'm going to stop the share for a second, because I'm going to show you this awesome resource that my colleague Josh is going to share as well. We have some really great online budgets. You're going to see my WhatsApp for a second. There it comes. And we have really great budgets for retirees, both singles and couples. And you're going to be able to click on there. And it's going to give you a really good picture about what we think your typical expenditures are going to be living in Israel. It doesn't include moving costs. It does include purchasing your furniture, but it will give you a sense of what we think you might be spending for rent and food and internet and utilities and taxes, for municipal taxes and health insurance. And some of you might join a gym. I personally am morally opposed to joining a gym. And gives you a range to begin your research on how much the cost. And we put it in dollars, we put it in shekels, and we also gave you a column that you could print it out and get a sense of what is your comparative to your life in Israel. We really push this as a key to understanding the cost of living in Israel. And it will really be influential in you getting a sense of what I'm talking about whether you're, especially for those of you who are having passive income, whether you're going to be as comfortable for whatever level of comfort you're talking about. Another big tip that you're going to have to, and I'll get into this a little bit later, is you want to speak to people about the cost of living, and you're probably going to connect with an accountant. I'm going to be talking about shortly some of the basics that you need to know about the tax breaks that are given to new immigrants, but each of you has a personal situation, a trust or a dependent or an investment that you have. You're going to want to speak to an accountant that's going to be able to give you that clarity of answers, because your goal in planning for Aliyah is to reduce surprises. You want to start your market research now. You want to understand, okay, where you're going to live, and speaking to people. Israelis love telling you what to do if you ask their opinion on things. So you want to begin to do that so you get a really good sense of what's out there. And if you're looking to work in Israel, you definitely want to start networking. Networking is dating for non-marriage purposes. You're not looking for jobs. You're not looking for an apartment. You're just speaking to people to get their opinion. How was their experience? What do you like? What don't you like? Okay, what do you know now you didn't know then? Networking is going to be really crucial to give you a sense of it. And also, you have to put a grain of salt with it. You want to speak to a variety of people. If you're uncomfortable speaking to family, speak to other people. There's online groups, there's real life people, but you really want to network. It's different than visiting Israel, okay? I love the Inbal, and it's a great visit to Israel, but you want to stretch out and see what is regular supermarket shopping going to be for you, and medications and other things we'll talk about. You also want to think about what you need and will pay for in a community. Community, and the OU is fantastic at this, is help you organize your community. And for most people, their synagogue or their shul is the center of their community in America. And that's not always true. It could be true, but it's not always true in Israel, because 80% of the country is Jewish. And we have lots of shuls and lots of restaurants. And therefore, there's a different fabric that binds people together. Specifically, I'll tell you about the neighborhoods. Okay, people don't move to Yerushalayim, they move to Rehavia, they move to Arnona. Come be my neighbor in Katamonim, okay? You want to understand what are the price differences by neighborhood and size, and what are you looking for? Are you looking for friends? Are you looking for shiurim? Are you looking for volunteer activities? Are you looking for family? You want to understand what are the basics that you are looking to pay for, and how much you're willing to pay for that. If you want the beach, you're going to have to understand what you're going to pay for. If you want Herzliya, or move to places like Ashkelon or Nahariya or Netanya, might be less, more affordable. I was told by mom, I always should call it not cheap. I would say more affordable. You also want to think about Ulpan, Ivrit. It will be such a difference maker. It's joining an Ulpan is like joining a gym. You don't lose weight by joining. You have to sweat. You have to go. Okay. So practice your Hebrew. You'll get a 5 months Ulpan. We'll talk about that later on. But you'll enjoy Israel a lot more, even if you just learn a few words and a few hand gestures. It will definitely make your Aliyah easier. And the key to planning is also the healthcare options, which again, it will be a heavy topic in the next seminar. There are 4 HMOs in Israel. You'll be able to join that. On your own, whichever one you want. You'll be accepted regardless of any pre-existing condition. You'll choose one, obviously, based on where you're going to live. But you just want to explore. Those are the keys to the planning part of it. I want to spend a few minutes, for me, before I jump on, a big question of your Aliyah viability is understanding the cost of living, your expenses, and what your earning power or your passive income is going to be. And that will really help determine your Aliyah viability. So I encourage you to do that, to look at our budgets, to reach out to me, to speak to an accountant. That will give you the first green light of understanding whether you should really move forward with this. Because again, I don't think that you're questioning the weather and the wonder that is the state of Israel. You're wondering if how comfortable you're going to be through this stage of life and this next stage that is to come, Bezrat Hashem. I'm going to talk to you briefly. I've jumped ahead here, about the technical process to making Aliyah, so that you understand the process. No stress will take about 8 months for a couple to move to Israel. Some people will do it in 3 months' time. Some people are trying to do it in a few weeks' time, and they're having a hard time. We're doing our best to help everyone who wants to come. We are seeing a huge spike in interest in coming, 250% increase to be precise. Many people are coming because they are now working from home and they have the luxury of keeping their career going, coming to Israel. Some people are interested in coming because they don't like being denied the access of traveling back and forth. Or another group of people is that they're actually running the numbers and speaking to accountants, and they're comfortable. They're comfortable now with being a snowbird to Israel, splitting their time. back and forth. And we're thrilled to help everyone for how they want to come through the process. The technical process has a few stages. One is to start the application, which is on the Nefesh B'Nefesh website. Okay, there's no commitment to doing so. The process will probably, that application will probably take about a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes to fill out. It's not too difficult, okay? It's asking you questions and dates. The stage two is really the burden. I don't want to call it the killer, but it's a big headache. And that's where you have to start uploading copies of the documents you'll need for your interview. We will need copies, and I'll go over the major documents in a moment. You will not send us the originals. You're going to keep the originals for your interview and for your aliyah, but you're going to need to muster certain original documents to authenticate who you are, prove your Jewish lineage and that you do not have a criminal background. Once you have all of those documents and you've uploaded them to our website, the Jewish agency will have an interview with you. Will it be on Zoom? Will it be in person? I can't tell you how it will be, but they will have an interview face-to-face. That interview is usually about 35 to 45 minutes, and they will look at your passport picture. They'll look at your rabbi's letter or conversion documents. They will look at your birth certificate and marriage certificate and your health declaration, the forms I'm about to go over. And usually about 2 months later, they call up and say, you've been approved for Aliyah, and that's the notification. Okay, sometimes they'll ask you for additional documentation, a doctor's letter or some other materials. And if you do want to move forward with your Aliyah, this approval is good for a year. If you do want to move forward with it, you will have to get an Aliyah visa. If you have an Israeli passport, okay, if you have an Israeli passport, you will not need a visa. But if your spouse or children do, they will need a visa, and then you could book your flight. And we'll go over how you're eligible for a flight. That's the Aliyah process. Again, if you're wondering and curious, if you're eligible, you're thinking about coming in the next year, you should start it and get all the way up to the notification part, and then you have to decide whether you're going to move forward. Let me spend a few minutes talking about the general documents that you're going to need. I mentioned these are the keys because these are the frequently asked questions that people get. There is no commitment to filling it out. We do have an application fee that is part of the process, and that application fee will apply to you whether you're making Aliyah in years to come. You also don't have to pay it right away, but we do ask for that. You need to know where you're born because that will affect your timeline, specifically people who were born in the former Soviet Union. And if you have an Israeli parent or you do not have an Israeli passport, you're going to need those documentations. So those are important. That's why I keep on mentioning them. The key documents you are going to need is a valid passport. The key word in this day and age is valid. There's a huge, enormous backup with the State Department to get new passports. They're talking about maybe 4 or 5 months for people to get unexpedited passports, but even the expedited passports are even a little slower than normal. You want to make sure that you have a valid passport. You'll need a birth certificate for everyone who's making Aliyah. And I get to introduce you to a very fun word called an apostille. An apostille is a fancy notary. It's an internationally recognized authentication on a document. And this is the tricky part. If you're married or you're widowed or divorced, you will need a state marriage certificate and birth certificate, and they need to be authenticated. How do you get an apostille? Well, if you were born in Florida, you're going to ask Dr. or Rabbi Google, Florida apostille, and there's a State Department office. Each state runs its own authentication office for it. So if you're living in Cleveland and were born in New York, you're going to need a New York apostille. If you're living in New York and you were married in California, you're going to need a California apostille on your document. You can get your apostille through several different means. You could write to the office and do it by mail, which is definitely the most inexpensive way to do it. There's currently a delay on that because of COVID, but if you're not in a rush, you can get that document. You can also send someone into these offices, you can send someone as a proxy, or you can hire a company that will do this headache service for you. For example, in New York, you actually have to go to 3 offices to get that document. It is not too difficult, and we have a great explanation on our website how to get that apostille. But you need to know that this document is really important. This is how they know that you're not forging your birth certificate. It is internationally recognized. If you were born overseas, you will need one from the country that you were born overseas. These authentication, the apostille and the birth certificates, never go bad. Okay, so if you do have them, They are not something that you're going to need to get at a future date. I want to emphasize that because it's really it's important to know. There are fees that are involved if you do use these services, as Josh is really doing a great job keeping up on the questions and the resources. Thank you again, Josh Sussman, for it. Someone asked a question about the application fee. I should know this off the top of my head. I think a single applying for Aliyah might be $65, and a couple might be $110. Don't hold me to it. I have a lot of information. I'm a general practitioner about this. I know a little about a lot. So sometimes the details do get confusing for me. You will also need a key document. You'll need is a letter proving your Jewish lineage or conversion documents. The easiest way to do this is to go to the rabbi of your synagogue and ask for an official letterhead, a copy for a letter saying that you state your name as it appears on your American passport, knows that you are Jewish, born to a Jewish parent. It does not have to be, they don't have to write that you're a nice person. They do not need to say, Lisa Dardashti, you chanted a beautiful Torah, a Devar Torah at your bat mitzvah or at your wedding. I just saw a name in there, a familiar name. They just need to know that you are Jewish, born to Jewish parents. It has to be very, very specific and signed by the rabbi of the synagogue. It's important that this document is actually dated close to your aliyah. So you need to make sure that it's kind of silly to say that if you have a letter now and make Aliyah in 3 years, they might ask for a new letter, but they might indeed ask for a new letter. But just make sure you have it signed by the rabbi on official letterhead. And it's really important that you have that. A school rabbi is not okay. A former rabbi or rabbi living in Israel is less preferred. It is preferred to have a rabbi that is of a current synagogue that you have that. If you converted, you'll need a copy of your conversion certificate, a letter from the sponsoring rabbis, and a list of the coursework. All of this is in detail on the Aliyah application. So again, I will be sharing this this presentation with you at the end, that you have a copy of it. And if you begin the process, you will have details of this to gather for this. Generally, getting these documents does only take about you might be able to get the apostille on the spot. It really depends on the services that they're providing, but in general, it will take a few weeks. And those of you who are planning Aliyah for more than 6 months from now, we presume that they will learn how to deal with the long lines and slower service of COVID and COVID-19 as it impacts government bureaucracies. These are some of the most important documents. There are some more documents that you'll need to fill out. Some of them are specific Jewish agency forms. One of them is a waiver of confidentiality. There is an entry-exit form that will detail every time you've traveled in and out of Israel in the past 7 years. You'll need to say how much, because they're concerned how much time you spent in Israel. We know that they are no longer stamping your passport, so that's annoying to do. So I really suggest you to do the best you can. Either search through your emails, but I will tell you off the record, and let's keep this our secret, they're still going to put your passport into the computer to see how much time you spent in Israel. They really just want you to get your make a statement about how much time you spent in Israel. You also will need a health declaration. You need to sign this. You do not need a doctor to sign it. It's noting your health, medications, your history. They might ask for additional letter from a doctor depending on what you disclose. It will not necessarily cause you to be rejected from Aliyah, but they might need to know that you're able to make the flight. That is a big concern, that you're healthy enough to make the relocation flight to Israel. It is also important to mention that there is a form called a criminal background check and an apostille. You will need to get an official criminal background check that notes that you do not have a significant crimes against you, and it needs to be authenticated with an apostille, but you only need this valid within 6 months before your Aliyah. You do not need this for your interview, but you will need this to be ready to show as you get your visa, and as you are getting ready to make Aliyah. So you want to think about that. If you are thinking about coming on Aliyah in Hanukkah time, you should get that now. If you do push off your plans to the summer next year, you're going to have to get another criminal background check. It's not the worst thing to do. I just want to make sure that you're aware of this technical part of the process, because there's a lot of chatter about this, and we're curious to see whether this is going to change in the future. Two questions came in that I do want to do want to, three questions came in. One is, does a Toshav Chozer, a returning resident, need an apostille for a birth certificate? Probably not, because you're already a citizen. If you are already a citizen, then you'll be able to come back to Israel without authenticating your identity. But I would encourage you to speak to the Beit Israeli to verify that. I am not an expert in Toshavim Chozrim. A great question came in, a common question. What if you do not have and cannot get a birth certificate? This person was born in Hungary as a refugee. And so you want to speak to the Jewish agency about that. I'm working with someone else like that right now. It is a common situation. People who fled Iran or Morocco, it is a common situation, and the Jewish agency is very knowledgeable. You will have to show other documentation, whether it is your naturalization papers or get a letter from Hungary. It's important to understand that it is definitely possible to do that. I also want to say this, by virtue of them asking for a proof of Judaism letter, they are not questioning your Judaism, whether you are Jewish, born Jewish, or a Jew by choice. It's the same as a police officer might pull you over and ask for your license, and you're like, what do you mean? I've been driving for 50 years. They still need a document that's going to show that you have a driver's license. They need, and that this is the process that you have to go through, and the same, the birth certificate is really important. A question came in, doesn't the Israeli consulate offer apostille services? The Israeli consulate does not offer apostille services. Only the state can. The Israeli consulate can help you authenticate Israeli documents. Israeli documents, if you were born or married in Israel, you do not need an apostille on it. But the Israeli consulate can give a consular stamp. And that's really important for Canadians. If you need a Canadian document that is going to have a consular stamp, then the Israeli consulate will help you do that. One more question before I move on. Is there something special to know that we were former A1s? In other words, they were temporary residents. Yes, if you were a temporary resident beforehand, you're definitely going to start the process, maybe give it a little more time, because they're going to have to verify your status and what benefits have you remaining. I appreciate that question, Donna, so much. The Aliyah interview is really doing two things. I want to step back and say this. They want to make sure that you're eligible for citizenship under the law of return, that you qualify for a fast-track citizenship, which is Aliyah, under the law of return. And they also want to see if you're eligible for the benefits, which I'm about to jump to next. They want to see if your previous stays in Israel or previous statuses means they will extend the benefits to new immigrants. And that is one of the questions about being a former temporary resident or A1. I really appreciate some great questions coming in here. And we're almost at the question and answer portion. I'm at the final part of the slides here. There are many benefits to making Aliyah. Some of them the government gives to you, and some of them are just the fact that you get to live in Israel. And some of the technical gifts the government gives to new immigrants is a free flight to Israel. Usually it comes from an El Al hub. So if an El Al does fly again soon and they start flying from your hub, just for example, Chicago, El Al started flying Chicago flights right before COVID hit, then you can take a free flight to Israel with luggage as well. It's important to know that you'll be welcome to the Israeli healthcare plan if you're approved for Aliyah. It will be basic coverage will be free for your first year. And afterwards, you're going to have to pay a nominal fee as a single person. It's about 110 shekels per month for basic health coverage. A couple is about I think it's 230 as a couple. Many North Americans will get supplemental coverage. And that is not too expensive as well. The next seminar is going to go into more detail about supplemental health coverage. And also there is private health coverage as well. I just want to emphasize again, you'll be accepted regardless of any pre-existing condition. It is a really wonderful system here, has many, many benefits, but you're going to want to learn about it. You will be given the gift of a 5-month intensive Ulpan. Many people use this as a great social outlet. It's really a wonderful way to socialize, meet people. Sometimes people move up one level. You do not have to start it right away. You have a year and a half to start that Ulpan option. There are several tax breaks. Some of them are on Arnona. Arnona is not just a neighborhood. It's the municipal tax you would pay to be in an apartment. In Israel, it is the question that is whoever is in the apartment pays. So I know in many states in the United States, whoever owns the apartment pays it. You'll be able to understand that you'll get a 70 to 90% discount on much of your Arnona, and you can use that in your first or second year. But the big thing that most people really get excited about has to do more with the 10-year tax holiday on passive income earned abroad. It's a great gift the government gives to new immigrants. And it's saying that any passive income that you have, you actually will not have to disclose to Israel for your first 10 years. I want to note that Social Security is never taxed. This question actually was sent to us beforehand. Social Security is really never taxed. But you have to be aware of your pensions or other, if you're renting out your home or you have any capital gains, Uncle Sam is always going to reach their hand into your pocket. So you'll continue to pay those fees with your accountant. You need to speak to your accountant about what it means to move your residence outside the U.S., whether that will affect your state tax. A shout out to all you Florida people who don't pay any state tax. But those people in other states, you have to understand if it's going to impact your state tax that you're paying or your local tax. But it's really wonderful to know that you won't have to report your capital gains and other profits that you have. Now, the 10-year tax holiday means in the 11th year, you're going to have to pay, okay? Or if you actively are working, then you might fall into some sort of tax responsibility to Israel. It's important to know that there's a tax treaty between Uncle Sam, and I call him Uncle Moshe, okay? And that means you're not to be double taxed. And essentially means that if you have a capital gains of 15% and Israel has a capital gains of 20%, you, in your 11th year, you would not pay 35%, okay? You would first pay Uncle Sam the 15%, and then you would come to the Israeli tax authorities and show to them that you've already paid that, and they might ask for 5%. They might ask the difference, and a tax accountant will help you plan that to hopefully minimize that, and therefore, it's really important that you speak to someone who's qualified and understands the essence of being an expatriate living in Israel but being a U.S. citizen. I'm sure we're going to get a few follow-up questions, but hold on because we have just maybe 3 or 4 more minutes of conversation here. There's a customs tax discount on your Lyft. If you want to ship items to Israel, you will pay to ship the items. You will have the opportunity in your first 3 years to make 3 shipments to Israel. The government's going to waive the tax on it. And that's the concept of shipping. A frequently asked question is, oh, how much does a Lyft cost or a shipment cost? Well, it depends how much you bring. You can bring whatever. You can bring just a few boxes of books. You can bring your whole entire house. And a shipper will give you an estimate. You do not pay by weight. You pay by cubic meter. It's important to get a sense. I advise people to make a list of things they're definitely bringing, things they're definitely not bringing, and then start working on a maybe list and start shopping online in Israel, speaking to friends and relatives. I find that people are bringing fewer and fewer items. They are definitely buying appliances in Israel under warranty. You can get American-sized mattresses now in Israel, and therefore they might just part with some of these items in order to understand that they're going to fit into their apartments in Israel. Great. Purchase tax discount. If you want to get a mortgage, there is a small amount of mortgage that you'll get a mortgage rate, but you might be eligible for a purchase tax discount, and that's more attractive to most people. If you are thinking about purchasing in Israel or you recently purchased, I really would send you to a real estate attorney. They are excellent in guiding you through the tax implications of buying or buying and then making aliyah or making aliyah and then buying. They will guide you on that and whether you can reclaim that within a year or 2 years after you make aliyah. But the purchase tax discount is a handsome thing to get back. You are eligible to get a tax discount on buying a new car in Israel. New cars have an over 100% luxury tax on it. So if you really want to cause your jaw to drop, I encourage you to walk into the Honda or Toyota office in Tapiot in Jerusalem and ask how much the car costs, and you're going to get, like, your eyebrows are going to get stuck up on the top of your face, and because there is a huge tax, and if you're a new immigrant, they're going to take it down by, I think it's about 25-30% of it. It's still pretty expensive, but you can take advantage of that. Only you and your spouse can drive the car. Your kids, your adult children cannot drive that car. So there are advantages and disadvantages, as there are many things that are involved here. And I left the best for last. Saklita, the government's going to give you money in your first 5 months to help you make aliyah. And it comes out to be almost about $4,000 per person making aliyah. There are no strings attached. This is not income-based. It's really startup money to help you set up your home or just defray some of the costs of moving. And they will give you a rent subsidy after your 8th month. Not a lot of money. It comes out to be maybe $60 per month or $100, depending on the size of your the people coming, the size of the family. But there are some nice little extra tidbits. If you do purchase a home shortly after you come, the rent subsidy will stop. That's an overview of the benefits. I know Josh shared a link to all of the benefits. Just before we open up into questions and answers for the remaining 20 minutes or so here, I just want to share some of my my tips. If you're on Facebook, there's a wonderful group called Living Financially Smarter in Israel. It's a really, really wonderful group. I check it like the New York Times about once or twice a day to make sure I'm not missing anything. But if I have a financial question in Israel, I search it first here. It's a great group of people talking in English, and it's really monitored well, because if you ask a question about the weather, they'll delete it. It has to be about financial questions in Israel. I really encourage you to, Israelis have told people before, how much did you pay for that, or how much did your house cost? Be direct, okay? We talk about money openly. Talk to people. Be direct. If you are working in Israel and you want to understand the tax implication, just Google Hilan tax calculator and it will give you a Hebrew tax assessment on that. So it's a great thing. If you have any healthcare questions, there's a great organization called the Shira Pransky Project. Again, just Google Shira Pransky Project, and they have great articles on lots of issues about medicine and healthcare in Israel in English so that you can be informed to understand how it works. If you are looking to work, please network with our employment department and understand your opportunities about it. I don't want to dismiss you, but we help 4,000 people a year make Aliyah. We've helped 65,000 people make Aliyah. Most of these questions we've answered before, so let us share our wisdom with you. And please know your right, know your rights and what to negotiate. It just have to be informed. Banking works differently in Israel. I know that's a topic for the next seminar. Just you have to know what you're getting involved in. We have a lot of information on our website, and you have to know everything in Israel is negotiable. So you have to be really, really informed in that. So that is my song and dance. I really look forward to this moment that we could be the people here waiting here to welcome you. It's really, really a fabulous moment. So we're going to dedicate the next period of time just to answering some of the questions that are coming in here. And I'm going to put this just general link to our website and that email that is there. Let's see what's come into the chat. We got a question here. Thank you for pets. Pets and Aliyah, it's the number one article on our website. Much to my chagrin, I'm not a pets person. Check it out. You just have to be prepared. It's a good timeline just to get ready for that. We do not have there's a list of accountants out there. I understand it's being updated by the AACI. I would ask in the Facebook group, if you email me, my email address has been posted once, I'll post it again. I can send that list to you, but don't trust me. You want to speak to people you know that recommend an accountant that you're able to do. A great question came in about Social Security disability. There are two kinds of disability, and you need to find out whether that disability will follow you to Israel or not. Some do, some do not. I do not know that answer. You have to call up the Social Security office, and they will tell you if you don't have to tell them where you're going, okay? You just have to say to you, I'm thinking about moving my residency outside the U.S. Will this extend to me afterward? And they will give you that answer. Another question, thank you, Murray. Will U.S. income be taxed in Israel? Yes, if you are actively working in Israel, if you are sit on my porch and you open up your phone and you consult with people as an accountant, as a consultant, then Israel is going to want to take a bite out of that. That is active income. Now, it gets tricky if you are, say you're a scholar and you decide to just go back for a semester. That's tricky. If you physically do the work in America, Israel might not tax you. And that's why you want to speak to an accountant. Dividends, yes. Social Security is never taxed in Israel. Okay, thank you, Josh, again, for reiterating that we're going to have a follow-up email with all of these things. Does it cost less to bring a car to Israel? Great question, Howard. You will get a custom discount on bringing a car to Israel, okay? But you will need to be aware that it's a headache. Not every car can be imported, okay? There's a list on our website that you have to check it out. I tell you, if you cannot understand the article because it's just heavy in the details, it's very thick. If you cannot understand bringing the article and bringing a car to Israel, do not bring a car to Israel. I highly recommend finding someone who sells used cars in Israel. It'd be really, really useful. A question came in. Joseph, I have elderly parents who require my help as their son. Is it possible to make Aliyah for a short period traveling back and forth and still qualify Israeli passport citizenship? That's a fantastic question. Thank you very much for raising it, Joseph. Now, when you apply for Aliyah, okay, you are becoming a dual citizen. You are not giving up your American citizenship, okay? That's fine. But you need to know that when you're applying for Aliyah, the state of Israel wants to know that you want to live in Israel permanently. That doesn't mean you can't split your time. That's fine. You can be a snowbird. Okay. You can be a snowflake. You can just have a lot of snow. We don't have a lot of snow in Israel. That's why I'm excited about it. But you need to understand, okay, that they, if you say, I just want the passport, okay, they're not going to approve you so quickly. Okay. They're not here to bring you on a flight or invite you to the healthcare plan. They want to know that you have the intention to become a citizen. Now, once you make Aliyah, there are no travel restrictions. Okay. You're welcome to travel back and forth. I know some people who've left the next week. It does involve, you have to make sure you have insurance and you're covered, travel insurance, and might have to get a special travel document before you get your Israeli passport. Okay, so you have to be aware of it. I'm happy to speak more in detail, but it does beget the next question, okay, is that if you do want to live in Israel and split your time to maintain your healthcare, and I know that Miriam's going to talk about this on September 1st for part two of this Nefesh B'Nefesh Spirit webinar, is you have to be in Israel for 183 days cumulatively, okay? You have to be in Israel for 6 months and a day. You have to have that. Otherwise, you risk the chance of getting kicked off the healthcare system. It might not happen immediately, but you risk the chance of doing that. Okay. A next question came in. What if you plan on dual citizenship, spend time in U.S.? Is there a requirement? I just answered that amount of time per year. It's 6 months and a day. Okay. You have to be aware of it. My Canadian friends' parents go down to Florida. Again, shout out to Boynton Beach for about 5 months and 25 days. And they always have a party on that 25th day of the fifth month because they're very careful, because Canada will strictly kick you off of the healthcare system if you do not maintain residency. Israel, we're a little less formal about that. I'm not sure how fast they'll catch you on it, but you have to be mindful of it. If you do get broken, if you do get kicked off the Israeli healthcare system, then your situation similar to Toshavim Chozrim is returning residents. And in that situation, you might have to pay a fine to get back in the system, which is about $4,000, okay, or have a 6 month waiting period without health coverage. So if you have American health coverage, you might be able to do it that way. I'm going to ask a question of myself. Mark, what should I do about my American health insurance? Well, a lot of people actually keep their health insurance for a period of time, but you want to speak to how much does it cost? You'll learn how good the Israeli healthcare system is, especially how it is for traveling when to America and how long you plan to spend in Israel. But I wanted to use this as an example of the questions that you want to answer this, how much you want to answer, plan out your Aliyah. A question came in about Medicare. I don't know. You have to contact your Medicare coverage. How does it cover you overseas? Okay. Some of you may have been in Israel and stubbed your toe or cut your finger and you had urgent care. You've been to Tarim. Were you able to turn that back in for a receipt? You need to understand the extent of how much your American health coverage will cover you as you travel abroad. And more importantly, for how long? Is it only for 2 weeks, 2 months? What is the extent of your health coverage? And your crazy American health coverage system is so diverse that I cannot master that. Those are the questions that we have, at least I've seen so far. Josh, you'll let me know if I'm missing something else that's come through here. Want to make sure that Josh asked me to revisit a question about people with an Israeli passport don't need any of this. Okay. Someone who has an Israeli passport, okay, you have to be very careful, okay? You have to be very careful about what your status is. If you were a child and you left Israel before the age of 14, or your parents are Israeli and they took you to America and they got you an Israeli passport, which you need legally to have, okay, you might be eligible for Aliyah, okay? You just have to be really, really careful about what you're going to do. And that's why we want you to apply and speak to the Jewish agency. The Jewish agency is the government's authority for determining your status. They can give you an official answer. Another question came in about veteran affairs. If you're an American veteran, you have to see how it covers overseas. I do not know if they have an office in Israel. I wouldn't be surprised that there might be an alumni association. All these universities have some sort of groups overseas, and it's a great way to network. What kind of discounts for retirees? That's going to be a question for the next webinar. My colleague Miriam is going to go deep into that. Please sure to ask her about the movie pass discount. I think it's Tuesdays where movies are practically free for empty nesters and retirees. You should know we actually started calling everyone empty nester retirees because we saw a growing demographic of 55 plusers coming. Dental coverage is going to be a big conversation in the next session with the healthcare. There is some basic coverage that is involved in that. I do get my teeth cleaning once a year for free, but there is such thing as medical tourism. Some people find that the dental care in Israel is pretty inexpensive compared to some things there, but you'll have to look into that. It's a question followed up. It is cumulatively, your 6 months in a day is cumulative. You could do 2 months here, 2 months there, 2 months here. You could do 2 days here, two days there. It is cumulative. A question came in from Joseph again, active listener, awesome. Can you provide links for websites for rentals in English or real estate sale for Israel? So the best website for rentals, for short-term rentals, might be like these Airbnbs. Unfortunately, any of the English websites for rentals are probably going to be geared to you rich Canadians and rich Americans that are out there. I actually really recommend this website. There are a lot of them in Hebrew, but this is the website that I'm a little bit biased to. If you want to understand real estate rental and purchase prices, it is in Hebrew, but it's really intuitive. It's like Airbnb because you can zoom into the map. You do need to understand the difference between to rent and to buy, but you can use Google Translate for it. But it uses an algorithm to actually show you real listings of websites in Israel. Yad Shtayim is also a great one. I'll put that yad2.co.
Mark, can I pop in on that for a sec?
Go ahead.
I'm not sure Mark knows about this, but our team is actually been actively working on not a translation of the Madlan and the Yad Shtayim websites, but an English guide, a template that will allow you to compare and contrast, and it'll give you guidance on how to use it. So that will be finalized in the next couple of weeks, and we will be announcing it, putting it up on our website. So that should be a very helpful tool for people who don't have a full grasp of Hebrew and might have a difficult time navigating that type of website.
Thank you, Josh. It's exciting, but dabble with it. It's really, really great. Don't believe people when they say things are expensive in Beit Shemesh. Go to the website. Expensive is subjective, okay? Don't believe people. I don't like the word expensive. I think it's a bad word, okay? We have just a few minutes left. General questions, personal questions. We are here for you. The Hebrew site for rentals question came in is yad2.co.il or Madlan. I posted it in the group as well. You should be able to see them there. There's a bunch of them, but they all sort of overlap eventually, especially if they're giving you a good sense of it. Okay. Other questions. Okay. Some with an expired Israeli passport from before the Six-Day War. Also, it really depends on your status. What age you left the country. You definitely need to call the Israeli consulate or Israeli embassy to renew your passport. But if you want to call the Jewish agency to see about your status, I know their number by heart, and I'm putting it in the group right here, 1-866-835-0430 to call the Jewish agency. I would encourage you to do that. I built a house 5 years ago. Can I still qualify for Arnona discount for 1 year? If you're approved for Aliyah, you will, because you did not get an Arnota discount when you bought it. Anyone who's in the apartment pays it unless you got a discount previously, okay? A question came in about monthly income necessary for two seniors renting in Tel Aviv. Our budget online, which I think said had a $5,000 a month, is a variety of rentals. You wanna lean in to actually see if the rentals you're looking for are more expensive, and that's why you wanna use this. What's the first step if you wanna work with Nefesh B'Nefin? Nefesh is the application on the website. It depends when you wanna make Aliyah. We really only encourage you to start the application if you wanna come within the next 8 to 10 months. If you otherwise have questions, start reading. Contact us, call us, write to us for a meeting so we can build a plan for you, but that's your next step. If you have really specific questions, best to address them to us. And so that you can understand this about your status. What kind of paperwork is needed for special needs adults is a great, great question. We just had a phenomenal seminar with a specialist talking about that. You really need to obviously have the same documents as anyone making Aliyah to prove their identity, but you're going to have to bring special, more unique documents to try and get whatever diagnosis to get recognized. And I encourage you to follow up on that so we can give you more specific information. Is your American pension taxed in Israel? Probably it's going to be, okay? Probably it's going to be in your 11th year, okay? But you're going to want to speak to an accountant to find out. Depends how much money you have. Do you want to write to me and tell me how much money you have in your pension? An accountant is qualified to do it. I'm a certified seventh grade English teacher. I'm not a certified accountant. You want to speak to someone who's going to give you an authoritative answer about how much and when they're going to tax you. But the whole point, I think, of this presentation, I really want to understand is what are the general things you need to know and what do you specifically need to get an authoritative answer. A question came in, how long can my American relatives stay with me in Israel who are not Israeli citizens? Well, usually tourists get a three-month visa, okay? And you can extend a tourist visa longer, and they can become students, but you have to understand that what type of visa you want to spend, and every time you leave the country, you'll have to get another one. A question came in about nursing homes and assisted living. It's going to be a great topic for our September 1st one. My colleague Miriam is going to be able to go into detail. We obviously have them. There are fees involved. You have to be aware of the care you're going to get and understand what you're going to need, and also the language environment that you're loved one might be into, okay? A question came in here about someone what we call in my family Aliyup. They had a failed Aliyah in 1980 where we were, but we never got Israeli citizenship or a passport. You should absolutely call the Jewish agency to verify your status, okay? You might be a gorer zchuyot. You might have some benefits. You want to apply and engage this process to clarify your status. A great question here. I thought this would be asked, and Miriam is definitely going to talk about this. Can a senior citizen get a mortgage? Okay, it really depends on your situation and your type of income. You should know. Here's get your jaw ready or your eyebrows to go up. Usually, Israelis put 30 to 45% down when they take a mortgage. Okay, unlike the 3 to 4.5% some Americans do when they buy, and that's why you had a terrible housing crisis in 2008, and we were unaffected in Israel by that. So you want to obviously speak to maybe a mortgage broker about what your situation, what type of income you have. They might not give you a mortgage. You might be able to get a larger loan, but it's definitely worth investigating to see how this applies to your situation and your capabilities. It is really a case-by-case situation, and you have to understand what that it's going to bring to you. Amazing. It's over 100 people here together, all thinking about Aliyah. That's a lot of spirit for me. A great question from the Young Israel of East Brunswick. Thank you very much. If we're not considering Aliyah for a decade or longer, does it make any to make sense to pursue any of this information at this time? I think it definitely is worth a good sense to get us to get a sense of the cost of living. Okay, what's your biggest obstacle? I'll say it differently. I remember the first time I was brought to a financial planner. Okay, I was thinking maybe 30 something, and I was like, oh, what do I? And that person asked me, okay, so what do you want to have when you're older? Do you want to have a boat? Do you want to have a vacation? Do you want to just have another apartment? Do you want to have your kids in medical school? They ask you these questions about what do you want to do at the next stage of life? And therefore, if you have to think where you want to be in 10, 15 years from now, and Israel's part of the plan, then you need to think about your health insurance, okay, your financial planning to make it sure that you can meet up over there. And whether you decide to keep your home wherever you're living in East Brunswick and plan to sell it out and cash out to get a place in Israel, then rent a place, that's great. And some people decide they want to purchase in Israel, even though there's fees involved to do it. But you just want to have a plan. And I think that's the best thing that you do. And even if you're consulting with a financial planner or tax person, okay, you're going to have a one-off and it's going to give you the peace of mind to know that this is really for you. And stay connected with us. We have updates. Len wants to know if there's a recording available. It's a question for the Spirit and the OU. I have a feeling that they're going to say that they're going to, because that's we live in such a great age that this is really a wonderful way to do it. Okay, let's see if there's any other questions coming through here. Okay. Let me see here. Yes, it is a big old yes from the OU coming out. Thank you. They're awesome, awesome, awesome. This might be out there as well, but this is a copy of the presentation that I just shared. It has just the general information on it. And again, you're welcome to reach out to me directly. I'll do my best to respond. I'm a little bit obsessive about my email. Another question came in. Veronica, they bought an apartment about 4 years ago. Would be entitled to benefits making Aliyah regarding the apartment? You have to speak to your real estate attorney. To my knowledge, you can only get the purchase tax within maybe 1 or 2 years, but you have to see if your specific situation applies to that. Okay, any last goodbyes or hellos? Does Israeli Slim need draft will question here? Will questions for the next one. Please make sure you ask Miriam about wills, and it's a good question to ask. Many people might do both, but you want to be able to speak to them. But that's definitely a topic that is not in my first steps processing and planning. That goes into the more nitty gritty of building your life. Getting some Tada Rabahs, amazing. Any last questions? We have 2 minutes before we have dinner time here in Israel. It's the sun is being set in Yerushalayim. Really, really great. I want to take a personal thank you for all that the OU does to really engage everyone. I think it's showing so much how it's surprising how much we thought we had to be face-to-face to be connected, but around the world, around the country, we have this really connection. So I want to say on behalf of Nefesh B'Nefesh, we'll be thrilled to assist you whenever you're ready in this year or in 10 years. We will be there for you, not just to get you to the airport, but make sure you're integrating for years to come. I wish all of you really, really good help. And I hope that you'll be able to visit us in Israel. And as I always say at the end of these things, I hope that you're always ba'aliyah, that you should always be heading higher and higher and really great things for you and all of Klal Yisrael. Have a great summer. Thank you very much.
Wow, Mark, that was amazing. Thank you so much, Mark. And thank you so much, Josh. Mark, happy anniversary on your 19 years. That's amazing. And obviously you've been doing really, really well. As Mark said, we have another session with Nefesh B'Nefesh on Tuesday, September 1st. Everybody will be getting information about it. You don't even have to write you'll get lots of information beforehand, but just, you know, keep that in mind. Somebody had asked the question about recordings. Every spirit recording, you don't have to email me for it. With God's help, later this afternoon or early tomorrow morning, everybody who has registered, that means everybody who's watching right now, because you can't watch unless you've registered, everybody will get a copy of the recording with all the different links and everything else. Nefesh B'Nefesh will be sending us, you know, I'll be including that separately. So you will be getting that later on today. So you don't have to bother asking me, although it's lovely to get your emails, you will be getting it. On Thursday, Bezos Hashem, we will be hearing a program about health, about improving our health and immunity with vitamins and minerals from Dr. Shmuel Shields. So again, you will be getting that information as well, because the Zoom rules now is everyone, including myself, have to register for each program separately. But that helps us to grow our program and have all of you on twice a week, and we love doing that. So, by the way, I'm so excited to let you know that our spirit archives are finally open. You will get the link to that. This program won't be in it yet, but hopefully by next week. But you won't need that since you're getting the connection from the email from me. I want to again thank Mark and Josh and all of Nefesh B'Nefesh. Wish everybody a good day, a wonderful week. And with God's help, we'll see you back on Thursday. Be safe and healthy.